Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, December 8, 2015. A senior church leader in Western Equatorial State says Arrow Boys attacked Yambio Town.
We should stop anything that can disrupt this agreement. We are tired of war, we are suffering, and no way to develop ourselves. In fact, this crisis in Yambio yesterday is a sub-examination.
And South Sudan Army releases prisoners of war.
The SPLA is releasing 13 prisoners who were captured or surrendered themselves during the combat in the areas of Kanal, Rang, and Malakal.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The governor of Western Equatorial State says a police officer has been killed and another one wounded following an attack by a suspected Arrow Boys aligned with SPLM in opposition in Yambio County. Eyewitnesses say gunshots can still be heard in parts of Yambio Town this evening. VOA fellow Tito Justin reports from Washington.
Governor Patrick Izamoi says the shooting started last night about 7:30 between police officers who had gone on their routine patrol in Yambio and a group of suspected Arrow Boys. Zamoi says the Arrow Boys in the state recently refused to sign a church-mediated peace with the government last month. The governor says the group is being backed by some people linked to a SPLA unit in the state.
Within the file and ranks of the government who are within the town, who seems to be instrumenting this movement. So they stay in the town and control the boys to the bush.
Eyewitnesses say some houses were all burned down during the fighting. SPLA Army spokesperson Colonel Phil Aguirre confirms that the attack took place. Aguirre says gunmen also tried to attack the governor's residence today, but says they were repulsed by the SPLA. He says the identity of the gunman is unclear.
We don't know who is attacking Yambio, whether these are forces that are claimed by Riek Machar. They were using this conventional weapon, the Kalashnikov, and some automatic SIM machine gun.
The Arrow Boys declared their alignment with the SPLMIO last month. Efforts to reach their commander-in-chief, Charles Kisanga, were unsuccessful. Eyewitnesses say civilians are fleeing to the neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo, while others are running into the bush. Markets, as well as private and public offices, have all been closed in Yambio. One eyewitness who preferred to remain anonymous due to the insecurity in the area says he has remained locked in his hotel room since the shooting started. He says only security officials in uniform could be seen walking through Yambio town.
I arrived in Yambio yesterday in the morning, and I came to do some official activities which are planned for today, this morning. But when the shooting started yesterday and we had to be indoor, and the authority also asked everybody not to move. So up to now, I'm in the hotel, so we couldn't do anything.
Governor Zamoi says he is currently appealing to everybody in the state to lay down their weapons and reconcile for the sake of peace. He says Riek Machar is coming to Juba to implement the peace deal, so there is no need for his forces to fight the government.
We have been very much engaging almost all the stakeholders, the elders, the politicians, the youth, talking to them so that they embrace peace, because peace is very important for us at the moment. We need total peace in the whole South Sudan, and especially in Western Equatoria in particular.
The attack comes days after reports surfaced that some members of the youth groups aligned with the rebels were arrested by SPLA security in the state, a claim which Governor Zamoi denies. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Washington.
Still in Yambio, the Catholic Bishop of Yambio, Tombura Diocese, is calling on rebels operating in Western Equatorial State to stop attacking residents in Yambio town. Bishop Edward Hiboro says the church has been talking to leaders of the local vigilante group known as the Arrow Boys to persuade the group to sign peace accord with the government. Hiboro says the Arrow Boys have no valid reasons to attack the government in South Sudan.
The Arrow Boys, who say they are part of the IO, the SPLM in opposition, If they have already identified themselves, then you would expect them to be able to implement the agreement because they are part to the agreement. If they are actually part of the SPLM, definitely they need to know that they hold a special position in the implementation of the agreement. So I'm appealing to them and appealing to everybody that we should stop anything that can disrupt this agreement. We are tired of war. Our country is suffering and no way to develop ourselves. In fact, this crisis in Yaounde yesterday has stopped examination. Children were already prepared for examination, and we are prepared for Christmas. So I'm appealing, and I'm appealing to all of us, everybody in the Western Equatorial State and the Republic of South Sudan, to restrain from anything that can lead to the loss of life and destruction of properties and displacement of people.
Which areas are they operating in? I mean, I remember going to school in Yaounde when I was at the age of 5. I know the geography of that area very well.
When they went into the bush, they sort of divided Yaounde into two. The other group who are already in the process, who have reached a deal with the government, are the other side of Birsi, which is the southern part of Yaounde. And this group now, who are called the Arrow Boys, are to the northern part of Yaounde, which is the area going to Rongu Fayam. So they like divided Yaounde into two, but you can't know who's who, despite the fact that they identify themselves as a distinct body.
And with this happening there, there is a lot of fear in the hearts of people. I've been covering stories from Western Equatoria. In fact, a lot of people have been telling me from there that they live in fear. If you have one message to give them, what would your message be?
We live in fear because when people have guns who have no law on them, and these guns can be used at their own will, as it is happening in Yaounde, where you don't actually have control over this type of thing. My message definitely is call for peace. We call for respect for the nation. We call for the respect for life. And I wanted to, obviously, at this moment, to call on the people in Western Equatorial State and even the people of South Sudan that the agreement has been signed. It is something that we need to own, we need to cherish, we need to implement, and to make sure that stability extends to our areas. And for these groups, we have been making a lot of efforts with these boys, young people, to stop what's going on. One group has already is in the process of getting along with the government, and I thank them for the fact that they are keeping calm and following the right way of solving problems through dialogue. And I also thank the government, the state government, national government, for upholding the aspect of dialogue. And this has made it so possible for us that we have brought calm to Yaounde, especially in the area where this group of South Sudan National Liberation Movement are found.
That's Bishop Edward Hiboro of Yaounde Tombora Diocese in Western Equatorial State. He was speaking to me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala, earlier today. In Juba, the South Sudan Army today released 13 prisoners of war. The army spokesman says most of the freed prisoners were captured, while a few surrendered during the nearly 2 years of fighting between the government and rebels allied with the former Vice President Riek Machar. Waki Simon Wudu has the story for VOA from Juba.
Army spokesman Colonel Philip Aguer briefly spoke to journalists in Juba moments before the 13 prisoners were released at the SPLA military barracks Giada in the capital.
The SPLA is releasing 13 prisoners who were captured or surrendered themselves during the combat in the areas of Kanal, Rang and Malakal.
Aguer says the move by the SPLA to release the prisoners is in accordance with the international humanitarian law, which states that prisoners of war are not to be prosecuted for taking a direct part in hostilities. 3 of the 13 prisoners of war released today are young girls. One of the men released is Agustino Matayo from Western Equatoria State. Although Matayo says he is happy to be free, he denies he was a rebel. Speaking in Arabic, Matayo says he was an SPLA officer when captured and still considers himself an SPLA officer.
Screening was done. We were not rebels. I was in the SPLA. and yet it is said that we were captured.
Matayo says when he was with the SPLA while in Malakal, he and other officers fell into an ambush staged by rebels when they were going to receive their salaries for October and November of last year. He says during that time they were arrested and taken up by the rebels. But Matayo says he is happy that he is being released now.
I am happy, and now that I am released, I want to know for all this time I was in prison, how I will get my payment. Then I will decide if I still want to continue to work as an army officer.
Matayo says he is still deciding whether he wants to remain in the army. Aguer says this is the fourth time the SPLA has released prisoners of war since the start of the conflict in late 2013. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudo in Juba.
Experts around the world, including the UN Environmental Programme, recognize climate change as the largest environmental problem on Earth. World leaders from more than 190 countries are attending the 21st annual Climate Change Summit in Paris. South Sudan's Minister of Environment addressed the conference today and asked the world leaders to help developing nations struggling with the effects of climate change. Ian Beer reports from Washington.
This year's conference aims to achieve a legally binding and universal agreement on climate with the aim of keeping global warming below 2 degrees Celsius. It has been 20 years since the United Nations set out to reach an agreement on a universal legal framework on climate. South Sudan Environment Minister Deng Deng Hoch Yai called on member nations to make the agreement universal and gender sensitive.
The agreement should be in accordance with the principles and provisions of the convention, in particular the principles of equity, common but differentiated responsibilities, and respective national capabilities.
Deng also says there should be a clear means of implementing the agreement, one that ensures developing countries have the capabilities to support any training their countries need and the capacity to fight climate change. Deng also called for aid to developing countries like South Sudan to help address the losses associated with climate change impact.
The agreement should demonstrate our collective mitigation ambition. In accordance with the science, the agreement should keep the global average temperatures well below 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels.
Deng also urged UN agencies and world leaders to work harder to protect developing nations against the harmful effects of climate change.
Any less ambitious target will only worsen the situation in developing countries, causing more poverty, more conflicts, more food insecurity, more hunger, more water scarcity, more job losses, more youth unemployment, more migration, more destruction of lives and livelihoods, and more misery.
This year's conference is expected to attract close to 50,000 participants, including delegates from governments, UN agencies, NGOs, and civil society members. The conference opened November 30th and will wrap up this Friday. For VOA News, I'm Ian Bior in Washington.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Western Bahr al-Ghazal State battle cases of malaria. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
would you rather have money or love?
Money gets you everything you ever want in life. Yeah. So in my perspective, love is not at all important. But money, hey, money is the thing.
I think I'd rather have love because, you know, you can have a lot of money, but then maybe you wouldn't be, like, satisfied with the amount of money you have. But at least when you have love, it's like you stay happy.
In fact, both. Both money and love. Love is the ultimate anyway. But if you have love, you don't have money, it's really be difficult to express that love.
I would rather have money because money in turn can also bring love.
I would rather have money because when there's money, there's love. I don't see love without money.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today we are talking about malaria. Health officials in western Bahr al-Ghazal state are distributing hundreds of thousands of treated mosquito bed nets to residents to prevent the spread of malaria, one of South Sudan's killer disease. As Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Wau, the region is experiencing high cases of malaria at various health centers.
Wau teaching hospital officials say nearly 4,000 people have been diagnosed with malaria in the last 3 months alone. While Bath, the hospital's statistics manager, says 7 children and 2 adults died of malaria at the hospital last month.
In September, we had over 1,200 malaria cases. And in October, we had 1,700 cases. And in November, we had almost 1,000 cases. There are really many cases. Most of the patients are testing positive for malaria.
Natalina Anthony sits next to her baby girl lying on a bed in the children's ward at the hospital. She says her children often get malaria.
This girl does not fall sick frequently. She gets it once a year. Last year, I was admitted here for malaria in August, but this time in December. But for my baby boy, he gets malaria frequently.
State health officials say to stop the spread of malaria, health workers and citizens must focus more on prevention. The NGO Population Services International has provided hundreds of thousands of bed nets to people, primarily women and children, who health officials say are at most risk of contracting malaria. Abdelgadir Madouk, Western Bahr al-Ghazal State Malaria Control Manager, says a mass distribution of treated bed nets began over the weekend and will continue for more than a week in Wau and Jur River County.
The total number of nets that we are distributing now, it is around 380,000 mosquito nets to cover the states except Raja and Baziapayam.
Raja County is inaccessible by road, and health workers won't go to Basia because rebels still operate there. But officials say the insecticide-treated mosquito nets are some of the most effective weapons against malaria in the world. The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, one of the largest providers of these nets, distributed more than 26 million in 2014. In the last 15 years, the number of children under the age of 5 sleeping beneath these nets in sub-Saharan Africa has soared to 68%, when it used to be less than 2%, according to the World Health Organization. In Wau, especially during the dry season, most people think there are few mosquitoes and tend to roll their mosquito nets behind beds. Madouk says that's dangerous because people can contract malaria any time of the year. He urges people to sleep under their bed nets every night.
One peak is coming on September and August. August, September and October. That during the rainy season. And we have a small peak that will happen in January. When all the population, they're assuming that there's no rain, that means there's no mosquitoes, say most of them, they left sleeping under mosquito nets, then the peak of malaria will occur. Another thing, South Sudan was classified as a hyper-endemic area of malaria. That means the malaria is throughout the year.
At one of the distribution centers in Wau, women stand in line as officials call out the names on a registration list. Rosa Andrea, a mother of 6, received 2 mosquito nets today. She says she's happy to have the bed nets, but complains she has many children and does not have the money to buy nets for her 4 other children.
Their father died and I am only given 2 nets. This will not be enough because each of the children has a separate bed. And with this situation, I cannot even afford to buy any additional bed nets since I have no money.
Madouk says treated bed nets, if used properly, can last for 3 years. He acknowledges that more nets are needed, saying each family should have at least 1 net.
I advise to people to keep the mosquito nets well. Don't misuse the nets. The nets can stay in for 3 years. They can wash it up to 20 wash.
A child dies every minute due to malaria bite, according to UNICEF. Malaria is the 3rd biggest killer of children worldwide, even though the disease is 100% preventable and treatable. About 3.2 billion people, nearly half of the world's population, are at risk, with children under 5 accounting for more than 2/3 of all deaths linked to malaria. So far this year, 91% of all deaths from malaria were in sub-Saharan Africa. There is a bit of good news, though malaria deaths have plunged by 60% since 2000, meaning 6.2 million lives were saved, most of them children. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
Land rights activists are calling on South Sudan's parliament to approve a draft land policy that has been sitting before lawmakers for the last 5 years. An umbrella group of 9 organizations say having no land policy makes it difficult for potential investors to acquire land and hinders the ability of local landlords to negotiate fairly. Philip Tonaleu has more for VOA from Juba.
The South Sudan Land Alliance Organization organized a one-day workshop in Juba today to lobby for a comprehensive land policy. Alliance coordinator Wutkan Sabia Lazarus says a definitive land policy will regulate the usage of private and public land.
For instance, where if once happen to lose the land, if the law is very clear, says yes, after losing land, for instance, you have been IDP, so you have a right to claim your land. We would like to this land policy to be passed by the parliament so that it really helped to reinforce Land Act 2009.
But Ladero says the South Sudan Land Act of 2009 is not being implemented in several parts of the country due to institutional bureaucracy, which leads to illegal acquisition of land.
We are much aware that there are different land dealers and those who are also practicing corruption in regards to land, because we have registered many cases in regard to land whereby 2 or 3 people are claiming the ownership of the same piece of land. Then you begin wondering which are some of these institutions are also responsible to ensure that some of these land titles are to be given to individuals, and how comes that such kind of mistakes are happening.
Ladero says there are complaints from residents across the country about land rights. Tiondi Francis, who works for local NGO Peace and Development Collaboration Organization, a member of the South Sudan Land Alliance, says the new land policy regulations are needed to strengthen existing legislation, especially for certain groups of society, like women.
There is no question of whether women own land after the land policy, but as for now, the Land Act is very, very clear, has given a full right for women to own land in South Sudan. Implementation in some states and like undermining an institutional weakness whereby the institution tasked with the implementation responsibility are not doing enough.
Francis says authorities should ensure that residents understand their rights to own land, to be compensated if they are displaced, and to know their rights if their land is turned over to investors without their permission. The Land Act of 2009 states that every person shall have the right to acquire or own property as regulated by law and as stipulated in the Article 32 of the Constitution. It also states that no right in land shall be expropriated or confiscated save by law in public interest and in consideration for a prompt and fair compensation. And any person or group of persons holding a customary land right before the commencement of this act shall continue to hold the same land right. Boutros Apollot, a coordinator for the South Sudan Land Commission, says the commission does its job but has limited resources. Apollot agrees that the land policy, which was submitted to Parliament in 2010, should be approved in order to attract outside investors.
When an investor comes to South Sudan, first they would like to take a look at your policy. What does it say about a foreigner who comes here to invest a huge amount of money? What will be the benefit, you know, the terms and so forth? These things are decided by the policy, not by the Land Act. But now in the absence of the land policy, so investors, they go directly to the community, you know, to acquire land, and sometimes terms are not good.
Apollo says members of a specialized parliamentary committee for physical infrastructure and land use have assured commission officials that the proposed land policy will be debated and passed soon. They did not elaborate. Land rights activists say during the conflict, many South Sudanese families not only lost loved ones, but their land as well. They say now that a peace agreement has been signed by both warring parties to end the fighting. A land policy should be passed so displaced South Sudanese people can return home. For VOA News, I'm Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Western Equatoria State Governor Patrick Zamoy says a police officer has been killed and another one wounded after an attack by suspected Arrow Boys aligned with the SPLM-IO in Yambio County. Residents say gunshots could still be heard in Yambio town a few hours ago. Zamoy says the shooting began last night between police officers on routine patrol in Yambio and a group of gunmen. Zamoy says Arrow Boys recently refused to sign a church-mediated peace deal with the state government last month. He asserts that the group is supported by people linked to an SPLA unit in the state. Eyewitnesses say some houses were burned down during the fighting. SPLA Army spokesperson Colonel Philip Aguirre confirms that the attack took place. The Catholic Bishop of Yambio Tambura Diocese is calling on rebels operating in Western Equatoria to stop attacking residents in Yambio town. Bishop Edward Hiboro says the church has been talking to leaders of the local vigilante group known as the Arrow Boys to persuade the group to sign a peace accord with the government. And finally, land rights activists are calling on South Sudan's parliament to approve a land policy proposal that has been sitting before lawmakers for the last 5 years. An umbrella group of activist organizations says having no clear land policy makes it difficult for potential investors in South Sudan to acquire land. It also hinders the ability of local landlords to negotiate fairly. The South Sudan Alliance organized a one-day workshop in Juba today to lobby for a comprehensive land policy. Alliance coordinator Wadkan Savior Lazarus says a definitive land policy would regulate the usage of private and public land and would reinforce the Land Act of 2009. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Doro by DJ Koblon. We have been listening to DJ Koblon with the song Doro. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.